Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Earlier this summer, Team Ostium had the chance to sit down and have a nice long chat. You'll get to hear from Georgia McKenzie, who performs the character Monica, Chris Fletcher, who performs the character Jake, and myself, Alex E. Talander. I write and produce the show, and also do the voice of Dave/Steve. In the third and final part of this special Behind the Ostium, we have the second half of our Q&A session, as we attempt to answer fan questions, as well as some tricky ones I came up with to try and stump them. If you enjoy this chat, you should really consider becoming a patron of Ostium. For just $2 a month, you can get access to the entire Behind the Ostium series. We cover all of Season 1, as Dwayne and I talk about each episode. And right now we're working through our world-building series. You'll also get access to all the Ostium files, with new ones coming, outtakes, and lots more. Plus, by supporting Ostium, you'll help fund the show and help pay our actors. You can find all this and more at patreon.com/ostiumpodcast. That's enough of me. Here's the final part of our special Behind the Ostium with Team Ostium.
Thank you. Do you ever re-listen to Ostium?
Yes.
No.
I don't, because I suffered through. I mean, maybe now that I... Not, well, again, now I'm still listening to which sound design, but still, I will still... But because I've done it kind of like... I think a lot of authors don't reread their novels once they're out there.
Because like you wrote it.
Something else and you did it.
Hard.
What else? You spent freaking days and months and working on it and getting it right. And...
I'm gonna take the creator angle on this one. Like, a lot of people would be surprised to know this, but it is so easy when you listen to yourself after something you've done or anything you've created to sit there and just be the world's worst mega bitch to your artwork, everything you created. You're sitting there and you're just cringy. Everything is the worst, and oh my god, I'm this untalented hack and it's the worst thing ever. Blah, 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 blah.
I do, when I've got an episode all ready to go, and now it's released in season 4, the week, 2 weeks before I release it, like on Patreon, and then I'll do a re-listen in the same setting as I do when I listen to podcasts at work and stuff with my headphones on. So that just is all.
Yeah.
As long as the mistakes aren't too bad, I'm like, this is good to go.
It's good to go. Yeah, because sometimes what I do is I give myself a lot of distance so I can go back. Because before I even send it to you, usually I listen. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are the few times that you catch things that like creaks.
Yeah. So as I've been putting the outtakes, I have a separate outtake. It's a special outtake. I've got like 5-6 things of you doing
six
that
games.
Fortunately with Audacity I'm also able to minimize it a lot and make it not.
Well, now that I have my noise print for my microphone,
oh, yeah.
I was just like, oh sweet,
farting and burping and everything.
Oh. Okay. I'm just gonna ignore that one. But it's like now when you like, I can listen to season 1 and 2 now, because I rewatched rom-com and I was like, yeah, this holds up. It's actually not bad.
Especially because I did the supercut versions too, where you just
go through the whole thing. But it takes like, I need a lot of distance because sometimes, because literally you're just hearing everything.
Right.
Everything is
wrong.
And it doesn't matter what you do. It's like. And then other people will watch it or listen to it and then, or read it, and then they're like, oh, wow, I really like it. And you're just like, you liked my horrible, disgusting, shitty thing I put out into the ether.
Were you dropped as a baby?
Yeah, it's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And every creative I've ever met, even the ones with good egos, like, they need to take a little time away from it to go back and listen, and it's always funny that it is consistent. So, yes to the re-listen, but also no. Like, it's also a no because
need distance of time. Just like when you finish a manuscript or something, you need to just
put it away, do something else.
But I think also maybe that's one reason I maybe don't re-listen is because I'm not doing 10 other projects separate from Ostium. Everything seems to be related. Everything's related to Ostium. All the time. Whether I want to be or not, I can't stop.
Make it stop.
That it's always kind of fresh in my head of the world and the setting and everything, so I don't really need to listen to it.
It's like
remember
the Big Evil Corporation.
Whereas if I.
So it's Disney with time travel.
Yeah. Whereas if I spent a year doing something else completely different and then came back to it, I need to listen to it.
Well, Disney bought us, dude. Network.
Not yet, Disney, but if you wanna, I'll sign. What is your writing process like, and what do you use? So this is for everyone. Well, this is for everyone, but how you write. And do you need a special setting or whatever? Yeah. Me, I've become very simple about it. I just sit down and I can be anywhere pretty much on my laptop. I'm at Starbucks. I need headphones because
it's noisy.
The general noise does distract me. Like reading, if you've got a TV show on in the background, I can't focus on reading.
Do you write at home mostly, or do you...
Mostly at home,
out?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a set schedule, my wife and I, where once the kid's in bed, we have about an hour of TV fun time.
Of adult time.
Yep. And then, once we're done with that, we go our separate ways. She goes to the kitchen to the coffee table there, I sit in the living room, and then we sit and work for like an hour and a half, and then go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then do it all over again. But I'm pretty, I think it's, over the years, I was pickier earlier on. I liked having a nice setting and things like that. And now I've learned to just kind of do it anywhere. And I think because I'm enjoying the story so much, it doesn't really matter where I am, as long as I got it. But I don't do anything longhand. I don't write anything out ever. I'm always on the screen. And I use Scrivener, which is nice because I used to use Microsoft Word all the time, but with Scrivener, you can really be crazy about organization with stacking stuff and folders and all those different things, and I love all that stuff, so I would do that with Scrivener.
Cool.
Okay. Does, now I completely lost my question. Never mind.
Chris, well, you've done a bit of writing, right?
I've done some. Yeah, I've done it for a while, but, yeah, no,
do you want to do more, too?
Yeah, I would love to write more. Yeah, it's always something I aspire to. But, I guess if we're talking about music, yeah.
We've got time this next
2 minutes. I do, right?
Man of leisure.
Yeah, exactly right.
Jake and the Batman, right?
Exactly. Finish the whole, yeah. Where, you know, he actually slimmed down, he had gastric bypass, so it's the thin man and Jake is what. The alternate reality version.
Sounds like a whole show here.
Yeah. I don't know.
With your music, do you always have to be at home at the thing there, or could you also just be anywhere with an instrument?
You could be, I mean, if it's something.
Piano app on your
Piano. I've tried, I mean, because I have a little keyboard about it, you know, and so, I mean, theoretically, I could plug it in to whatever I have with me, an iPad or something, but I just never really do.
Like, right.
It's kind of this fantasy of, I can go somewhere and, you know, do music. I am planning on renting a house for a weekend sometime this summer on the coast.
To where?
Yeah, and so I think I'll probably bring at least the small keyboard. I can envision.
It's a free place to get our stuff. Yeah,
exactly. But,
Did you remember your question?
No, yeah.
It's long gone.
All
right. So, what do you do for writing?
What do I do for writing?
Do you have a favorite Starbucks? Favorite tea?
I write at my big machine now in the front of the house.
It's got a big fan. Keeps it cool.
Yeah, it is. This is a big gaming rig that I use for design.
Is it like black and red?
Yeah, it's actually black and blue with like.
And it's a desktop?
No.
Oh.
Well, yeah, it's under the desk. It's got like vents. It's an alien. It's an old Alienware.
Oh, okay.
Because
it
has
Alienware, yeah.
Yeah, it's got like 4 drive spaces in it. It's super powerful, and I kind of love it. I like hugging it. like these are my machines. We have a relationship,
and it still works. And I'm happy.
Yes, I love it so much. I love you, but it's you know. So I like to be able to sit there, and I have my cup of tea. And I like the fact that, you know, the kids play, or I get to have sunlight and everything else. The only issue is the cats think that means that it's a
free-for-all. Yeah,
time,
you can do whatever they want with it.
Time, mom is just sitting there.
You're not doing anything important.
No, definitely. It's like, can't we be in your lap? No.
So did you usually in the evenings then, or towards the end of the day, or any time?
Usually the end of the day, like a lot of, like at work it would be like, you know, I'm out by 7:30, and then I would work, and then from work I would literally run straight to the gym, work out there for a couple of hours, come back home, get everybody else, get everything taken care of, and then, oh good, I have like an hour to myself to write. Let's just move that ball an inch forward, get a couple of lines out. But sometimes it's that, or you know, it's pulling teeth to get a sentence out.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
You're just sitting there and just like, fuck. And then sometimes you manage to clear your schedule.
Oh, yeah. Mary, my wife, she does at least, I think it's 3 sentences a night is a rule. She sets aside, whether she's doing, I mean, she can have a whole great writing session and do all that or whatever, but the rule is at least 3 sentences
at least
a night.
Sentences.
3, just all you need to do. Even if it's like 3 minutes before you go to bed, throw a bunch of crap on the page.
That's it.
You did something.
Honestly.
And if you keep doing it,
you'll have something.
3 months later, you have a pretty big thing. Yeah, yeah.
And
grows and grows.
Some stories flow so well. Like a Rom-Com Studies script for that came out of trying to write a kind of Hallmark movie romance thing, and I hated everything about trying to write a rom-com, and I was just like, man, I just want a zombie to come through and eat everybody. Like, I want a zombie horde in this script so bad. I want a nuclear strike. I want gang warfare that kills all the characters in a terrible, horrible way, just so this thing will never be done. And then I was like, you know, you are just terrible at romantic comedies, and you need to own the fact that you couldn't do a light, happy romantic comedy if your life depended on it. And so I wrote that situation, and that flowed. And some things flow easier than others. A lot of times, I find, though, no matter what, even if it's hard, like Marion's thing, three sentences, if you can get a couple sentences out of page, sometimes the next time you come through, you've laid the ground for like a flow.
Yeah.
And you can just take a flow period and write more.
Now, what about when you're done? Do you like to end? Some people, which I think is disgusting, end like halfway through a sentence. And they're like, that way I can start right off the next time.
No. Nope. I like to get a complete thought out. Because if I don't, I might miss it, and I don't want to miss it.
Yeah, totally.
But I do I try to make sure that I have, like, I leave everything that comes to me on the page.
Right, I always like to throw in as much as I can, even if I have to use half of it, with all the weird stuff in there. And then...
Do you edit while you write? Yeah. Oh, yeah, me neither.
And Marin used to a lot, and now she's switched a little bit more to in between, kind of. But yeah,
I try not to. I mean, sometimes you're just like, I started off with this word, and I don't know what comes after this word. I'm going to delete this word and start over. I think I have something else.
I don't know if it's because I'm coming from doing more books, you know, full manuscripts and stuff. That's like, I got a lot to write. I'm just going to throw everything out here, cut everything I need to out later. But for now, I'm going to put every weird random thought that comes in my head into the story.
Honestly, the weird random thoughts are often where the best parts of the story come in.
So I'm going to use this word over and over again. I have to take it out.
And take it out?
Because all he does is smile. He never does anything.
That's one thing I've definitely learned to do. It's getting the... Yeah, I've always admired your writing discipline. You sit down and you try to get like a lot of words done. For me, it's more like... You know, did you see that discussion of planners versus panters? Pantsers?
No.
Oh, writing Twitter had like... I think it was the TV writing Twitter. And they were having like the debates between people or like what plots or scripts. You can tell either they planned it or they were seat of the pantsing it.
Oh, okay.
And I know I am a freeform writer. I'd love to be able to sit down and plot out everything. That is far more my nature than you'd get by my writing style. But I know for me, even when it's a script, I have tried to do the whole, I'm going to do a...
Nice big outline.
And after a little, I was like, fuck this outline. I just want to write the script. And fuck you for bringing that one up.
They meant Nazi tanks.
Yeah, it's like, no, I don't want it.
Are those pantsers?
Yeah.
It's pantsers.
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, what?
No, it's not pantsers. It's pantsers. Yeah. But it's like, I would love to be...
Yeah.
Queen outline and discipline and everything else, but it's sometimes
that's okay. I've done that before when I've done Dark Green novels, that I've had the outline, but with this I get started from nothing and building on things, but then as I'm delivering mail at my day job, my mind is thinking and then adding on layers and stuff, like, oh,
I can
do that and that.
I think your outline is actually in your head.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that for some people that works for them.
But it's more of a loose outline of a vague sense of where it's going. It's like a very light outline.
Yeah.
It's actually the characters that take me there when I'm writing.
Yeah, I've often said that basically it's like being in a room with people and you're documenting what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I know when I'm in my story flow is when I feel like the character's like, no, I'm actually doing this right now.
And it gets scary.
Yeah.
She's like, what the hell does this come from?
And yeah, and you're just like,
you're not going to hold back. You're going to keep going along with the ride.
Yeah, the characters really
and...
have to talk to you. I don't know. I think when you force the characters, then they become really wooden.
Yeah, definitely. I talked about this a little recently with Dwayne in a Behind the Ostium thing. We were talking about season one and how when they went to Mars that first time, and then you showed up, Monica showed up, and then you guys got out of there. You didn't bring back a trinket. talisman thing. And so I realized an episode after that, like, whoops, I forgot to do that, and that's a ongoing thing. But instead of going back and redoing that, I just went with it, the characters, and had the characters go back there to get a trinket and then actually learn newer things about themselves and the world and different things like that.
I mean, just with it. I always thought, honestly, like, they were still figuring it out.
Yeah.
So it was perfectly okay to not...
As was I, but yeah.
Sometimes we are characters and sometimes we're not. You know. So I always thought that one worked for me as a story because I felt like, well, yeah,
there's no rule book we're supposed to be following.
We're going to vibe. You know, Jake
a DM
is
telling
to,
us where to go.
Yeah, Jake is going to just vibe on something. It's going to happen. And it's like, it doesn't happen. I think, honestly, having the inconsistencies until you build up to, oh, this is the rules of the game. And it's okay to have them make mistakes. And honestly, one of the things I don't like is that Mary Sue, Larry Stew component where they just know shit in an odd situation.
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, look, I'm the first person that in a zombie movie, I'm like, why the fuck are these people all acting like they've never heard of a zombie movie?
Right, yeah.
Like, nobody's ever had... This is universes where no one has ever seen a zombie. Okay, that is so consistent in every zombie story to the point where you're just like, you want to... Okay, I hope something eats you. Is my go-to. Mm. I really hope it eats you.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Jim Jarmusch
movie? Yeah, and it's like
I'm thinking zombies.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
you go right for it. And I know I'm going to see it because Tilda Swinton, you know, like she's my girl. But
well, I'm sure that does kind of work out at Mount Olympus University. Have you listened to that show?
Right.
Where she's going to college and she ends up going to a college where it's all these Greek gods and different gods and goddesses and stuff like that. But she knows nothing about mythology, but we as listeners know all about it. So when we meet all these different Hercules, all these different people, we know about it, but she doesn't.
She doesn't.
Makes it work. Yeah. One other thing with Ostium is my one outline sentence would be not to be like lost. I'd actually roughly know where I'm going, but you know, to have a sense that it is going where I want it to go, but also it never gets too predictable. That's one thing I don't want. That's why even though I don't necessarily know what direction it's going to change, I know it's going to all of a sudden change left and do something really weird.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think that the problem is like, especially for established shows, they have the rules.
Yeah.
They do have their rules of the road, and those are both important so that people can consistently create within that world.
And, all the different people involved, departments and all this stuff. And you've got your one season you got to do, and then if you're going to make it through that one season, and with podcasting, we can do what we want.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, the Bright Sessions musical piece, that worked really well, and it was a little outside, but it worked.
It never felt like, this was just a musical episode we shoved in here. It's like, it worked so well with the story and the conflict that was going on at that point and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if the Bright Sessions started to be adapted, like, oh, we're going to walk into, or it turned into, like, say, the Magnus Archives, like, you're starting to, we'd be like, wait, no, the Arcanum part of it doesn't work.
Nope. That just came out of nowhere and just shoved it in.
Yeah, and it's like, nope. And I think that's one of the great things about, for me, doing Ostium. Like, we literally don't know what can happen once we walk into a door. And that way, there's always something weird that can go on.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
What's your name?
Tim.
Hello, Tim.
If each voice actor got to open two doors, one to a place they would want to go most, and one place they would never want to go, where would it be?
Hoboken.
Yes or no? For both.
Hoboken is always a no. No, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jersey. New York thing.
Coney Island, Hoboken. No.
Ovekipos? No.
This was you, yeah, not the characters, but you.
You.
Right.
You was you, Chris.
One that you
would go.
Would go, and then one you would never go. That's a good question. Yeah, I have a good answer for it.
Well, if you could go any place in time, sort of thing, I'd want to go to the future to see how awesome it is. And while I would like to go to the past, I know things were pretty much just always shitty, no matter how rich and great you were. So the idea is good, but no, I don't want to go to the past.
Well,
I love the Middle Ages, like, but I do not want to go be stuck there and break a leg and be like, well, now I'm screwed.
Now, look, dysentery. Yay, sepsis.
Nothing is clean.
Now they're going to bleed me. Wait.
That doesn't work, and now I'm half dead.
Thank you.
And the future, just because I want to see where we're
if we make it that far, and where we're gonna go,
what do we do?
Are we gonna make it to the stars? Are we gonna go far?
I have a great belief in the human ability to fuck things up.
I don't think you're being let down.
No! It is the one time I love
trending on Twitter is
at all points in time. Please disappoint me on this one. Like I said, I'm super nerdy. I'd be in Middle Earth.
Oh no! That's a good one.
I'd be Middle Earth. I'd be post War of the Rings, and I'd like to see
what happens after.
Anywhere
specific? Or all over?
I wouldn't mind traveling. I'd visit Bombadil, of course. You want to see that. I would not fall asleep in the shadow of a barrel, though. I'm a lot smarter than that. Shortcuts make long delays. Mm-hmm. And I would have to see Hobbiton, but I don't think I'd stay. Roll out of there. And I would like to see
just
the
just stay for the celebration of Bilbo's.
No. This would be post. So we're talking...
Yeah, I'm just saying, he's not there, but he still celebrates his birthday every year, don't they?
Well, that would be... Well, that was when Frodo was there, but that was before Frodo left. I don't think they did that.
Did they do it afterwards?
No. Frodo was way too depressed. But I think definitely after... Before Samwise leaves...
Check out all his kids. Because he's going to have a lot of... Sam.
Well, I think... But that's after Rose dies, but... He leaves after Rose dies. But I wouldn't mind seeing at that point to see all the changes, see the flowering of the white tree of Gondor.
And maybe also now that they've experienced the world too.
They
brought stuff back.
I would love to go to Lorelin.
Influence.
To Lorelin. Yeah.
Because stuff changes. Unlike in Westeros, where it stayed exactly the same for millennia and no technology has been invented or anything.
I've always wondered.
They still
about
fight
that.
With swords and. Occasional dragons.
But it's like, yeah, that I would probably be doing like a travelogue through.
Mm-hmm.
But not, I don't want to come too late when it's too many freaking humans.
That's right. It is the age
through.
Of man. God, you're everywhere.
Jeez. I don't want to be there after the last white ship sails.
Mm.
And place I would not like to go to. Family reunion. That's
mm-hmm.
it. I would pretty much explore anywhere, but please.
All right, Chris, you have to do what you get.
Okay, so
I guess not want to go would be school.
School.
Not right now. Yeah,
right now, it's like that's the last place you want to be. Back in that yearbook room.
That's a good one for now.
Staring at, and it was like a bad dream where you wake up and it's like, you've got the yearbook file, and
yeah.
It's corrupted, or it's blank, it got deleted, right. And it was due yesterday.
Then, want to go, maybe, like, something where you end up in, like, a quantum-level version of reality where things
like
are...
Reality, or just...
Well, yeah, well, I mean, you know...
You want a holodeck?
Well, no, not like that, but in the sense of how... possibilities can come and go in waves, and but we always say, "Oh, but that's not for us. That's only for the quantum world." You know,
uh-huh.
The, you know.
You want
what
that.
If the macro world was quantum? You know, it behaved like,
weird timey wimey
waves. probability. You know, like cresting and crashing, and your day. You know.
Like that Farscape episode when it was like there were like four different. Levels, remember? They were all different. There was one was red, and one was blue, and one was all weird shit.
Yeah.
Farscape was really all weird
shit. What do we get when the Muppets are involved?
If Ostium were a musical artist, who would it be?
Prince.
Mmm.
It's just a lot of variety. That's why. Because Prince
mm-hmm.
can do just about it.
I put this in because I had a friend asked me that before, and I said Mike Oldfield because I got really into him in the last few years, but also because he can't fit in any genre. He's just weird and all over the place with everything he does, but when he performs to the world, he has to have a band. He can't do it all. Even though he does a lot of it himself, he needs people to help him actually show it to the world, just as I do a lot of my stuff on the laptop. I need you guys to show it to the world, to make it real. Ringo Starr. Really?
John Cage or
something. No, I don't.
I said John Cage.
John Cage.
Yeah.
Have you watched any good TV? I
started watching the new Twilight Zone.
Oh, how was that?
It's enjoyable. Yeah.
So you subscribe to CBS?
Just for that.
Just for that?
Yeah.
Can I steal your login? Will it work?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
not just for that. Also, card show.
Oh, the card show is going to be on.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then there's the new Star Trek.
And Discovery, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I enjoyed Peele stuff, and so I wanted to.
So does he try to, I haven't seen any, does he try to impersonate? He doesn't impersonate him.
He does.
It's like a nod.
He does the.
Does he do the intro?
He does. Yeah.
He does do the
director
intro.
Camera intro.
And does he walk into the scene?
He does. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
He's in there somewhere.
Yeah, he's totally stealing. There's one that's they've taken a lot of the episodes and updated them in Twilight Zone, the Twilight Zone basically, and so the airplane one, you know, the Shatner one. It's tweaked and it goes in different places that you don't expect, but he's on the in-flight movie, and so Jordan Peele
on
like,
screen,
you know, so, that kind of thing.
It'd be funny if it was a Key and Peele skate on.
Yeah, that would be funny. The interpreter.
Football names. Or that.
Yeah.
Did you see that one where Key was in the classroom and he couldn't get the kids' names right? I can only think of Aaron as A-Rod now.
Aaron.
I don't think of it anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
I just wrapped the first season of Good Omens.
Mm. So is it going to be multi-season?
I think that they're planning.
Okay. Wasn't sure.
Oh no, I think I have one episode left on Umbrella Academy. I watched I Am Mother, which was okay. And Wish and Poof for my I watched Kids
Is
for
anime.
I was actually watching Hunter x Hunter. I'm watching Hunter x Hunter now, but I haven't finished that. And I think it's okay. I mean, I was also reviewing like the first season of Kill la Kill, which is one of my faves. I will never wear that in cosplay, thank God. That's cold and a little uncomfortable. But it's one of my faves. But I think I'm going to put my Crunchyroll on my Roku just so I can go back and review some of my faves. But those were really good. But I watch TV while I write. So it's it's playing while I write in general. It's more like a companion, and half the time I'm just like, I don't even know what the hell happened.
With the writing or the watching?
With the watching. I'm writing.
Yeah.
Writing. I have no idea.
Why is this character showing up? Oh, that's great. I'm watching that.
It's just kind of, it's like background noise.
No, I can't do that. I can do music, but I can't watch. If Aaron's watching something else, I can do that, but not. We recently finished Killing Eve. Really good, yeah. And then the person who does that, she has her other show, she has Fleabag, which is really awesome too.
Yeah.
It shows women in much better ways and realistic, and the stuff that happens is much more natural and feels like a real person instead of Hollywoodized.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of recommends to look at Fleabag, so I forgot to add it back here.
Yeah. Relatable.
Half the reason to have Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm. You like half as good on us. Final question from Dwayne. Has your character taught you anything about yourself?
They should taunt you.
Well, could that be it. That helped you.
Let me think about it. I think the freeish associative quality of the character, you know, it's something that I can relate to. Off in tangents. And, you know.
Do you feel like it's brought you out a little bit more doing the performances?
Probably, yeah. I think so.
Musicians are always super quiet. And it's like, unless there's music playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just not like quiet and moody. I don't know. I'm going to just...
Yeah, a little out of your shell.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Take more risks in life.
Yeah, sure.
Like sign up for a yearbook class. I never thought that would be fun.
Fun
and easy work, some good money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can look through all the emails I've sent Chris. I would, but the yearbook.
Yeah.
It's just killing me.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Dave has taught me I can do a passable. Still do a passable English accent.
Are you received pronunciation?
Hmm?
Is he received pronunciation or?
Received what?
It's more like BBC standard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've just, it's my mangled accent from my parents and people I hung out with and stuff, which was all over the spectrum, so.
Yeah, it's a, having a multinational friend group is definitely a bonus for a voice actor because you get lots of examples of different accents.
Right.
And that happens whenever I Skype with my family, too. I just switch over.
Yeah.
And then it happens if I talk with Australian people or whatever, too. If I talk with them long enough, I start
so
to
you
just
start, you pick up the accent.
And I get that. My dad's like that, too, whenever he talks to me.
Yeah, it's hard.
What does Monica talk to you about?
It's life. I can't say cussing.
Sounds of the term.
Lots of cussing. Well, it actually taught me that I enjoy doing it. You know, I mean, it's it was nice to like Gary was originally meant for animation because I did so much visual work, and I was like, oh, you know, dirt, you could actually just convert it. So it taught me that be a little bit more flexible and open up a lot more on that one, and definitely a lot more vocal techniques coming up with that. But, you know, I believe I'm one of those push for your craft kind of things people, so that was fun that way. That helped.
Cool.
That about does it. Yeah.
All right, thanks guys. That was fun.
All right,
I'll help you bring all the
equipment. Let's break down the equipment.
Yeah.